Well, this morning we're looking at idolatry. Idolatry. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 14. And Paul, it's interesting, as we go through the book of Corinthians here, this church was blessed immensely, but it had a wide variety of things that they were going through. And Paul wrote this letter to give them guidance. And as we start this in on idolatry here today, I ask the question because so many of us are involved in so many different things and we go to all sorts of things. When we look at this that we're looking today, what are we allowed to do in social settings? What are we allowed? When we're with believers and non-believers, what are we allowed to do? What's permissible for us? And Paul's going to look at that. This section involves also Christian liberty, the liberty that we have in Christ. Now, there can be that danger of going too far in certain settings, wherever we allow ourselves to be at. Paul ties this in with the celebration of communion, which is participating in the Lord's Supper. That's communion. Which is sharing our relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. So participating in the worldly situations, we're to use great discernment. Really look at it. So each of us needs to use discernment in today's scripture and how it applies to us individually also. So let's read what we're looking at today, starting in verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless is not a participation in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break is not a participation in the body of Christ. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participating with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake in the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Okay. So bless you. So as we go on and we start this section that Paul's looking at, and I like what Paul does is he opens this section right here. Therefore, my beloved. Paul is talking to believers, my beloved. So as believers, we need to also hear and yield what Paul is saying here. He has a great love for believers, and we all should. They are the family of believers. Now, as I look at our church here, we're a family of believers. And a lot of times, family of believers can be closer than some of our own personal blood family, that we become closer with people in the family of church. So, then it says here, and I want us to look at that. Flee from idolatry. Flee. So, what is idolatry in Scripture? What are they talking about? What are they talking about? Well, it is worshiping something or someone more than God himself. Remember, this is going to be a sermon where we're going to be checking ourselves. Don't look at the others. Check ourselves. Idolatry here, the original Greek wording, means two things in the original Greek text. To worship false gods Number one, false God. And second is to not have a right relationship with God. Uh-oh. So again, we got to look at ourselves. It's not having that right relationship with the one true living God. Again, we're going to be checking ourselves. And the worst thing we want to do is we don't want to say, well, that person, I'm doing better than that person. No. It's you checking yourselves on all this. As we look at that, if a person is not worshiping the true living God, then that person is probably worshiping some form of an idol. Almost, and here's what becomes when I think about idols, and I get to thinking a lot about this. Almost everything can become an idol. It can. Which can consume a person's passion for. Think about what you may have a passion for. Could it be family? And I wrote down quite a list here. What about possessions? Do you worship that? Work. Now, I know this. My previous job for so many years, I worked so many hours, it was ridiculous. I had to. Do we worship sports? How about sex? Power? One that's came up recently so much as people worshiping climate change. How about save the whales? Wealth? Rock stars, TV personalities, etc. How many of these do we worship, or how many people do worship? You know, all those that I listed there, I wonder if people have that same compassion for people. You know, you'll see news shows where they're saying trying to protect some whale or some fish or something like this, and it goes on, there's all these people trying to save, and I'll think, what about that person or people we see on the streets? Are we trying to help them as much as we're trying to help an animal? Think about this. Whatever you may or may not be worshiping, does it consume your heart? Does it consume your mind? What are you thinking about all the time? Does it consume your life? Where is your life most focused on? Have you ever heard someone, and I've had many tell me this, but I'm going to ask you to yourself, have you ever heard someone say they worship God their way? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Many. Yeah. Look, I've been told, hey, look, you worship God your way, I worship God my way. Or you may have them say, well, you know, I think God's this. Or God is that. Okay. How do they think God should be? These are all things that I've heard so many times. So many times. They do not realize that He is the true living God who revealed Himself to man in Jesus Christ. He revealed Himself to man in Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And the Holy Scriptures. You want to know what God is like? It's in the Scriptures. It's in Jesus Christ. There are some who worship and pray to some sort of an idol. I don't know. There's so many that, like I say, who they think God is, or there's many cults out there. They may even worship an image. I've seen many houses. A picture. Have you ever seen a picture of Jesus? I don't know who that picture is of. I've never seen Jesus, and I don't think anybody here has either. They may have purchased an idol or made it. Who knows? They'll set up a shrine and worship that. People can look at these and think they're God. Wonder how many people have looked at a picture on the wall of Christ or of certain things, and when they get to heaven, they're going to go, oh, who are you? Because they've had this in their mind. They've had this in their ideas. Truly, I really hate to say this, but I see this. Vast majority of people are truly consumed with something other than God itself. Other than God himself, they're consumed with it. And I'll lay this out and you think on it. It's on your own. Are you spending, how much time do you spend with God? Prayer, scriptures on that. Compared to the rest of your life. And what are you consuming your life with there? Yeah, sometimes something like that can sting a little bit, huh? People have rejected the true living God, again, who revealed himself in Jesus Christ. The Holy Scriptures have revealed God to us in Jesus Christ. The church here at Corinth was experiencing this. Same thing that we're having today in our own nation and in all the world. People from the church were attending functions that were being held in other temples, other houses of worship that worship a false god, or at homes where false idols were on full display. And this is where Christian liberty can come in. Are we to attend and go to functions in these places? It's a question you ask between you and God. But what does the scripture say? What does the scripture say about these idols and going to those places? It's right there in the first verse we're looking at. Dearly my beloved, flee from idolatry. There's our answer, right? It's in God's holy word. This is a very forceful, the way it's written in the original Greek. Turn and run from it. If we turn and run from idolatry, who are we running to? God. Because all them forms of idolatry, when you turn from that and you run, you're going right to God. Our hearts and our minds must be consumed with God. Throughout your day, talking with him. And as he compels you, get down on your knees and pray to him. He opens up and he'll do this for you. He does it to me all the time where he'll say, hey, go to this scripture. And I go to my Bible, look it up, and read. He's wanting to tell me things. He's wanting to show me things. Oh, okay, I got it. We're to stay focused on God and his kingdom. Are you focused on God and his kingdom for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours in here on Sunday, and then after that it's, I don't know, we're supposed to check ourselves. We need to be very careful that our attention is on God. You can ask him, help me. Help me. Lord, I want to be closer to you. Lord, help me to keep focused on you and your kingdom. He will do this for you. And whatever can really attract your focus and your attention, Lord, take that away. I don't want it. I don't want that to become an idol. I'm not saying that we can't enjoy the things of this world. As far as, I mean, look at what God created. Or to enjoy, no. But to glorify God has got to be our focus. Use what we enjoy to focus and stay on him. We're to keep those things in their proper place. It's God first. God first. Then Paul says, he says, I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I'm saying. So here it is. We're to look at our own selves. In other words, he's saying, hey, use good sense about it. Do we get so overboard on something? No, we're to use good sense. We all need to look at something. But is the majority of our time being spent on something other than God? Ask yourself. You know, this is things we need to ask. It says judge for yourself. So that's why I say all of us need to look at ourselves, every single one. Lord, is there areas I'm maybe kind of failing in? Is there areas I need to improve in? You ask him, he'll show you. I promise you, he'll show you. So where is our focus? Is our love on other things than God? Could be. It really could be. Our time with God, is it on the low end compared to other things in our life? Think about that. Each one of us. Don't worry if your heart's being pierced. As I prepared this, oh yeah, he was piercing my heart. Made me second think. Lord, keep me on that line. And focus on that. So Paul turns around, he said, the cup of blessing that we bless is not a participation in the blood of Christ. The bread that we bake is not a participation in the body of Christ. So what's he talking about here? What he's saying, he's giving us some understanding here. In that when we participate in the Lord's Supper, communion, like we're going to do today, we're worshipers of the Lord himself. We're making that statement. We're worshiping him. And when you partake in that communion, it is a spiritual union with God. And we need to understand that. We have given our lives over to God, and we want that closeness. Are we committed to him and to him alone? Or are we committed to other things more than God? Think about that. We are bound to Christ. His blood, his body. We're bound to Christ. And we need to understand that. And Paul turns around and he says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. For we all partake in one bread. So when we come together in communion time, we identify ourselves, what we're doing. We're identifying, hey, we're worshipers of God. We're worshipers of God. And when people see us as worshipers of God, they're going to see that. So when believers get together with unbelievers in their functions, we're identifying with them and their functions. So we need to second guess about these functions and where we go and what we do. Should we go to these type of places or with this or that? Think about it. Again, Paul says, judge yourselves. Use common sense there. We do know and we need to understand the cup of blessings. When he's talking about it here, he ties it into old at Christ's time, because I want you to understand something. Just like as I want to clarify something with communion, the cup of blessings here listed is a technical term that was for the third cup at the Jewish Passover. What he's talking about is, yeah, the Jewish were having a Passover, but what was Christ doing? It was the time at which the Lord was instituting communion. While the Passover's going on, he's instituting communion. They have their cup. Christ is saying, this is the cup. Participation in Christ's blood. His blood cleanses us from all our sins. The sins that you committed 20 years ago or 10 years ago, a week ago, to the sins you're going to commit tomorrow and beyond. It's a symbol of fellowship with God. It's that fellowship. It is not a literally drinking of Christ's blood. Now, I've heard that, and some churches have said that. This is literally If look at, it's Christ's blood we're drinking.
No.
Why? When Christ was instituting communion, he hadn't died yet. He hadn't shed his blood, so it can't be. And when you take that cup, it is a symbol of his blood that was shed for you. So we have one body because we have one bread. And we look at that. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who sacrifice participants in the altar, who eat the sacrifice of participants in the altar? He ties it back into Jewish traditions and what God had instituted before Christ. We see this participating with Israel. When an animal was sacrificed, only part of that animal went on the altar. Only part of it. The rest was given to the worshiper and to the priest. So there was a participant. Because the Jewish worshiper partook in some of the meat that was sacrificed, he was seen as a worshiper of God. Just the same as we have communion today, as a worshiper of God. That's why we don't want to take lightly that worshiping of God. And so that's what Paul is bringing that up, and he ties it into what was happening with the in the Old Testament dealing with this. So he says, what do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? Back then, they would offer the meat in false worship to the false gods. It was offered to an idol. And the idol itself is nothing because it's false god. Excuse me. The idol has no existence. The idol has no spirit, no soul, no power, no nothing. What are they worshiping to? Nothing. We worship the true and living God, as Scripture reveals to us. A lot of the times, and it happens, that the idol is only an imagination of the worshiper. And we go back to, what do you think God is? You know, a lot of people say, well, God wouldn't do that. Really? What's the Scriptures tell us? What does God say? And I bring back Jesus where he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life of God. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the way. He's saying, I'm the only way to God. I'm the truth. I am the truth of God. And he says, I'm the life of God. Life of God in the flesh. All others is false. All others is false. And so as we go through that, Paul says, no, he answers the question, is the food offered to idols or anything open? He said, no, I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to participate with demons. So those places where they're going to be doing this kind of stuff, Paul said, I don't want you there. I don't want you to participate in that kind of stuff. Pagans, when he uses the word pagans here, it's non-believers. It's ones who don't believe in the true living God, Jesus Christ. And what they're offering, whether it's sacrifice, whether it's work, whatever kind of false worship it is, it's false. They're offering it to demons. Satan and his demons are behind all idolatry. We need to understand that. We truly, truly need to do. And that includes from the very simplest of societies to the very complex of societies. That everything about this is to get your eyes, your heart, your mind off Jesus Christ. The truth, the living God. You know, how many times have people said they seen something or got this vision or whatever? How does it compare with what Scripture says? That's the first test. What does it compare and how does it relate? One person cannot participate in Christ, come in and have communion with him, and then go to somewhere where they're offering these different, you can't do it. You can't ride that fence line. One leg on one side, one leg on the other. You can't do it. One or the other. And we need to understand that. And the one thing that I really want us to understand is, and this is where I think so many people get lost in, and it can be in Christianity, we don't fight against flesh and blood. That person, we don't fight against that person. No, no. From the very vile, what do we fight against? Paul tells us, put it for me, Ephesians 6, please. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Okay, it's situated in the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. See, it is those demonic forces that are guiding all this. Okay, if you were to look at the chaos that's going in our country now, you would tend to think, well, it's those people. No, it's the spiritual forces that are directing those people. They're the ones guiding all this. They're doing anything to get a person's heart, mind, eyes off of Christ. You know, and I think back at, if you recall, oh, I can't remember, 70s, 80s, Jim Jones, and he took all them people over there to Africa or wherever it was, and they drank the poison punch and they all died. Said, this is how it is. Or the guy that was down in San Diego and said, we got to get on this rocket ship because we're going to go. I would say majority of people in here go, that's nuts. That's crazy. Yeah, some people can be fooled by that. Where Satan will deceive is it's really close. Really close to the truth. And we need to understand that. That's why you need to understand the Word of God. They're going to get your mind off. Remember when Jesus was taken up in his 40 days and the devil came to tempt him 3 times? And Satan would repeat scripture, but it was just a little bit off. And Jesus would correct him on it. It's the same thing when you hear scripture and somebody says something. You're going, no, that ain't right. That's off. That's off. It's to deceive. It is to deceive. Because we need to understand and know Scripture very, very well. I just had a gentleman this morning drive up, come in and talk to me. And I'm thinking, huh. This was all done 30 minutes prior to me coming in here and preaching. And he was a believer, wanting to share things about all sorts of stuff. But he was talking so fast, I could hardly understand him. And he says, we need to teach and be taught that we're not sinful. You're not a sinner. And he was talking so fast, I didn't catch it. And I was like, what? What's he talking about? Finally said, you know, I need to go in. I got things to take care of. So he left. He said, yeah, I'll call you. Okay. As I was worshiping God, and I'm going, he said, you can be taught not to be sinful? Yeah, we try our best. But then God gave me 2 scriptures. Boom, that quick. John talks about it when he said, hey, those who say that they do not sin, no, 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 no. And he gave me another one. I'm thinking, oh, thanks, Lord. You know, because something was off. In all of his talking, there were these couple of things that were off, but he was talking so fast. And I'm just sharing this because this can happen. But I'm going, okay, you got to slow down. Because he was all over. But you know the God, if you know the scriptures and you're reading them, God brings them right to your memory. Because you go, What was he saying? God said, here, here. I go, oh, okay, got it. Now, guy's a believer. I shared with him that part. Yeah, this is what you got to believe. I believe that. Okay. But Satan can use people to try to distract you. The worst thing that can happen is when a distraction or thumb for me happens within the hour before I come into here. I get a phone call or I get somebody coming in. They're trying, that is the schemes of the devil to trip me up, get my mind off things instead of what I'm focusing on. Because I was in there, I had preached it already, and I was praying about this church, this going on, and here was something to distract, to get me off guard. It can happen to you. Oh, you don't need to go to church. It's a beautiful day. We've had all this rain. Why don't you just stay home and enjoy the sunshine? Oh, you don't need to go see that person that may be sick or whatever. They're doing good. Yeah, yeah, they're doing good. No. Think about all the little things. Judge for yourself, what Paul's saying. Judge for yourself. Is there something that can trip you up? Yeah. Yeah. I've had a lot of people come in between 9 and 9:30 out there and try to, people off the street and different things, and it's a tripping, get me tripped up. So that when I come in here, I'm not on focus. I'm not sharing the Word of God because I got things in the back of my mind. And once God showed me, I'm good, you know. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't hold anything against that person. Look at also 2 Corinthians 11. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. I'll stop right there. Satan himself can look like an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond with their deeds. Now, there are churches, there are cults who have been found on, and they stand on this because they've been seeing a vision of an angel of light of some sort. Well, it had to be from God. No, it doesn't. Test it against the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the only one to go and that you have access to God. Jesus Christ is your only way to get into heaven. It's not looking at something and you get a vision out of that or you have this happen. No. It's the Word of God, period. God can give you visions, but it will always coincide with biblical. Always. Always. Satan is out to destroy God's purpose for saving man. And he'll do whatever he has to do to trip you up. And let me... The main key here is, and this is true with every single cult, every single one, is what they're doing is they're turning man away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Is he the way to God? Is he the truth of God? Is he God? Because all the others, other than Christianity, teach something different. They're close. They're close. Oh, he was a prophet. Yeah, he's God's son, but, you know, this or that. It all boils down to that. And we got to understand that. And how do we know? This goes back to where you're spending your time. If man is so wrapped up in the things of the world, has he turned away from God? Or could he be turned away very easily? Yeah. Yeah. You could be turned away very easily if your focus is on anything other than God. And I want us to understand, Satan is very, very good at this. He's been doing it a long time. He knows. You say, well, this is only going to happen to me because of this or that. No. He's using the same things to trip man up over and over and over. It's the same things he's done. He's very good. He knows what we can fall yielding to. He's been doing this a long time, and he knows how to trip you up. That's why your focus, Paul is telling you, your focus has to be on the Word of God, has to be on God, or you'll get tripped up. When you think about this, and this is again back to Paul saying, judge yourself. We're not to judge others and say, you know what, at least I'm better than that guy. Well, I'm not as good as that one. No. Look at yourselves. Because when we spend time and effort on other things than God, are we following the devices of Satan? Could we be? Yeah. So where's your allegiance? Where's your allegiance? Is it God? Or is it deceptions? What does Scripture tell us? What did Paul say? Flee from idolatry. All those things that could draw your attention away from God. All those places that could draw your attention away from God. And it says flee. It doesn't say just casually walk away. I'm good. I'm strong. I can go to those places and I'm good to go. No. No. Now, he ends this section and he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot participate in the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Simply stated here, the best way I could say was, Christians cannot at the same time participate in a meal at the table of false God and also at the table of the Lord. Can't do it. Participation in idolatry condemns. And God doesn't allow that. So those places that may draw us away, or their teachings could be close, run. Because what God, Paul's saying, it's hypocrisy. And it will arouse the Lord. Look how he says, jealousy. It makes the Lord jealous. Hey. And he asks the questions, are we stronger than he? Well, obviously, no. If we practice idolatry, and if you recall, I listed a fraction of idolatry, all those things, sports, actors, you know, all that other stuff, we'll face judgment. If we're not focused on God and his kingdom. Look, I went back and I started thinking about the Old Testament, how God was talking about this through the Psalms and into the New Testament. So put up for me Deuteronomy 11, please. Take care, lest your heart be deceived. So your heart could be deceived here. And you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Can that happen? Think about it. Look at yourselves. Put up for me Psalm 81:9, please. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. God's very clear on this. Idolatry is one of the worst things that man can do. It's worshiping a false god. And the last one I want to go through is Romans. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed for all, or blessed forever, excuse me. Amen. Look at what it says there, that they served the creature and not the Creator. So when I say, yes, the deception is on Jesus, they'll give Jesus a close what he is. Yes. This is not in my notes here or on the bulletins, but I wanted to read it to you because I want you to understand how close things can come. John, in John's gospel account, chapter 1, and I'm going to just read the first three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? He was in the beginning with God. We're talking about Jesus. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So who's the creator? Jesus. Because when you step down to verse 14, and the Word, which was with God, was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Jehovah Witnesses translate this completely wrong, and they only use one Bible. Anybody else who says that Jesus is something else, this is what it says, God's holy word, who he is. Deception is there. They can look good, angels of light. They can do good. I had a lady a couple of weeks ago tell me, oh, what have you been up to? She goes, I went to a conference where a world-renowned psychologist teaching about joy. And I said, joy is in the Lord. Well, joy is doing this. I said, no, God's the source of joy. Well, it's joy to help others. No, the joy is in the Lord. Helping others is a byproduct of having that joy of God in your life. Ah, oh, it's nice talking to you. Deception. We're close. Doing joy will get you into heaven, right? No. It's Jesus Christ. We're going to partake in communion. There's going to be some more coming up on communion in a couple of weeks, but we're going to partake in it right now. Communion is that as we partake as one body in communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I always have in my mind the thinking that Jesus is there right with his disciples. And he's with his disciples and he's instituting the Lord's Supper right then, just as he does. And he'll say, do this in remembrance. Every time we partake in communion, we are to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. He got off his throne, came down, became flesh, and died on the cross for us. But he rose again for you. For you personally. If you were the only person here, he still would have done it. He did it for you. And that's what Paul's saying. When we partake in communion with him, we should not be any other partakers with anybody. It is him and him alone, God. Come forward, Dave, please.